Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This heaven I will go. How many people can say it? I didn't say tell me. Say it to yourself. This heaven I go. I must go. I must go to this heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all. You see, I've been stressing the importance so that somebody will listen to what I want to say. If I don't finish today, next time I will finish it. I just want to make somebody understand the importance of what we want to say. That this story in the Old Testament is referring to us. Very beautiful woman, Vashti. Very beautiful. But beautiful outside, inside, dirty. Stubborn. And yet, she was married to the king. She was a queen. Three feasts. Feast number one. Hallelujah. Let's read it. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4. It said, now it came to pass. Hallelujah. In the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast. Take note, this feast was unto all the provinces and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. Take note, they were for a specific group of people, caliber of people. That feast was not for everyone. The first feast was not for everyone. What was it for? Verse 4. It was to show the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty. Many days, even 104 days, for about 6 months, 180 days. He was showing them the riches of the glory of his kingdom. And how do we liken that to salvation? Those princes, those special group of people, they were the leaders and rulers of Israel. Jesus Christ said, hallelujah, and that feast that was made was the offer of the great and dreadful day. The appearance of God as Emmanuel. God coming in the midst of his children Israel. To do what? To show forth the riches of his glory. He was performing miracles, signs and wonders. And he was speaking of the things of the kingdom. And he was showing the majesty of the kingdom. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what is prepared for his people. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is the day of salvation that was offered to Israel. Praise the Lord. I started with John the Baptist. The feast began with John the Baptist. And everybody was rushing to the feast. And they were getting baptized. Hallelujah. Unto repentance. And then the Lord Jesus Christ appeared. And the whole place was turned. The whole city was turned upside down. Something new was going on. They did not know what was going on. Spiritually, it was God preparing a feast for his people to show forth the riches of his glory. The glory of his kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was what John the Baptist was preaching. And then Christ appeared. They did not understand what he meant. But it was the feast that was offered to those special group of people, the Jews, Israelites. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus Christ said he did not come but for the lordship of the house of Israel. That was what he kept saying. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, he referred to them. He said, for you are a king. Can we read it? Exodus chapter 19. Verse 6, a kingdom of princes, and ye shall be unto me, says the Lord, a kingdom of priests, an unholy nation. You are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. That is who we are. Special. Jews, we are special, special people. And in verse 3, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I told you to note that Christ ministered for how many years? 3.5 years. And it was after 3 years, hallelujah, that he made a feast that lasted for 6 months. The last 6 months, read the story of Christ. The last 6 months were the time he displayed and displayed and displayed and began to talk about the things of the kingdom, talk about the mystery of salvation, spoke so many things by parable, delivered the word of God. For 6 months after that, he was cut off. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then the second feast. Something necessitated the second feast. Because the first feast that was organized, the people that was organized for, oh glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The people that were organized for, they rejected it. So the second feast had to come up. And in verse 5, Esther chapter 1 and verse 5. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace. This time now, it was not for only a selected group of people, it was for all the people, both unto great and small. For how many days? 7 days. In the court of the garden of the king's palace. And those 7 days feast is the feast that he, God, has offered, that is lasting for 7 days, 7 church ages. And that is the feast we are enjoying now. That feast is still on now. Hallelujah. It is a salvation for the Gentiles. That is spanning 7 different dispensational days. And that blessing, that feast is what Jesus Christ was speaking in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever now. This time now, it's not for only the lordship of the house of Israel, but this time now, it's for whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that was settled on the cross of Calvary. In Galatians chapter 3, can we read it? Verse 13 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 3. How, this is the way Apostle Paul put it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, you and I, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is the second feast. This time now, it is also now for the Gentiles. Whosoever, through the cross, that blessing of Abraham crossed over to us. To fulfill Joel chapter 2 verse 28. And in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This all here is including both Jews and the Gentiles that will believe. And it was fulfilled in the upper room. And for the scripture to be fulfilled, that is for all, not only for Jews, he quickly moved to the house of Cornelius, where the door was opened from there for all of us to also receive, being Gentiles. That is the feast that has been going on till now. That feast was necessitated because, hallelujah, he made the feast and wanted to show forth his queen. Who was he going to show it forth? Now, I take note of something here. If you read that story very carefully, I noticed something. He called the guests, the princes of all the provinces, the mighty men of his kingdom that were ruling. And then he made the feast and then brought the queen. That means he wanted to bring the queen to show them his beautiful wife, queen. So it means in that feast, there were guests. The guests are not the queen. Preachers. Hallelujah. The queen was different. Those guests were just enjoying, but there is a queen somewhere. They will only enjoy the food, and go. It is only the queen that will be with the king. But everybody was enjoying it. So that you will understand why everybody is enjoying the anointing. In the name of Jesus, they are falling. Some of them don't even complete Jesus. They just say, gee, as you begin to talk. Everybody is enjoying it. They are enjoying the meal. But there is a queen somewhere. There's a queen somewhere. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And they are the Israel of God. The prince with God. The wife of promise. The queen that sits with the king in the kingdom to rule the kingdom. The queen. And this first queen that God had was Israel. But Israel turned down that offer. No character. That means what God is looking for in the present bride is what? Character. It is character that will make many of us lose being in the bride setting. And when I say character, hallelujah, I'm not talking about you. Good morning, sir. Good evening, sir. Good morning, sir. Good evening, sir. Good evening, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma. Yes, ma. Yes, ma. It's more than that. A sister came to greet me. And she's an Igbo girl. Anytime she enter my office, she's on her knees. Daddy, and say, welcome. There were two sisters that entered. The two of them are all Igbos. But she went on her knees to greet me. The other one, Daddy, you are back. This one knelt down. Then I say, you, anytime you enter my office to greet me, always kneeling down. I know you are an Igbo girl. Did you grow up among the Yorubas? And she said, yes. I said, hey, no wonder. Hallelujah. The average Igbo man or woman. Well, Pastor Francis is warning me. So let me be careful. Amen. Amen. But that's the truth. It's only in Igbo land that you hear of what they call autonomous community. Every compound has her king. Every compound has her king. And so when all the kings meet, who will bow before the other? I am from this autonomous community. Amen. Well, I'm only saying that character is not about kneeling down. It's not about bowing down. The character that he's talking about, what was it that she exhibited? The king said, come. She said, I know go come. That is, it means disobedience to God's word. That is the character. Stubborn to God's word. I'm not saying, just, he said, come. Your husband, the king, come. He said, I will not come. For which reason? As you do your feast there, me too, I'm doing my feast here. The king is doing feast. The queen too was doing her own feast. So all of us, I'm busy with my own here. They say, make I leave my own. Come, show this man, don't start it. Oh. And like joke like that, she lost her position. And God was letting us know that through some parables. I don't know if we have time to read them. Let's read some parables. Matthew 21. Now, in fact, Matthew 21, after Matthew 21, he gave the second parable again in Matthew 22. Let's see that of Matthew 21. Okay, Matthew 21 from verse 33. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and edged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, if you know the story of salvation, you can catch it as I'm reading on. He sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Is that not what they did to the disciples? Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son. So the first group certainly are those prophets that they were killing in the Old Testament. And then he sent John the Baptist, they kill him. And then again, but last of all, verse 37, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? He was teaching, he was giving a parable, but they didn't know he was giving a prophecy. And verse 41, they say unto him, they answered him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that, and that is Israel and God. His son is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 2, he gave it again, another parable to them. And in verse 1, and Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come. They will not come. Disobedience. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies in AD 70 and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city, Jerusalem. It was fulfilled in AD 70. They rejected Christ, did what they were doing with his apostles. Kill all of them gruesomely. Got angry and sent those Roman soldiers, scattered that, destroyed that city, destroy all of them, burnt down the city. Verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidding, we are not worthy. Is that not Acts chapter 13? Can we read it? We shall come back to this place. Let's just understand this parable very well. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Hallelujah. Go to verse 45. Let's start from verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes that came for Apostle Paul's crusade, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, what do we do? We turn to the Gentiles. Verse 47. For so had the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set it to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when you and I, the Gentiles, had this, then we are glad and glorify the word of the Lord. And as many as we are ordained, only those who we are ordained to eternal life believed. Go back to Esther. To Matthew. So that you understand. Amen. Verse 6 again. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, like they did Paul and his group, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up the cities. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but them which we are bidden, we are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. That is how they found Esther. Praise the Lord. And take notes here. Amen. Verse 10 again. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in thee that not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. That is the tribulation period. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is also what is demonstrated by that fig tree that Jesus Christ cursed. He came hoping to find fruits, but there was no fruit, and he cursed it. No man eateth fruit from thee henceforth. That fig tree is Israel that rejected salvation. So there was need to find a replacement. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a need to find a replacement for Vashti. And it's important that we look at the process that replacement that replacement was found. If you catch how the replacement was found, then you will know also the process that God will find the true replacement for Israel. It's not just about going to church. There were certain things that all the maidens were subjected to. And those maidens are nothing but all the churches. So that you will understand why God himself, Satan will always play into the hands of God. Before Satan comes and brings any problem, God already has solution. Oh, that is the God we serve. He came and scattered the Church of Jesus Christ into different denominations. All of us disagree with one another. God took it and is using it as a perfect example for salvation. Every church is that maiden. They are all going out and hope that they will be the queen. Go and gather them. Go and gather them. Go and gather. Go around. And any fine woman, every fine woman wants to be the wife of a king. Every woman wants to be a queen. Who no one be queen? Is there any sister here? Where no one be queen? If you put up your hand, you are under a curse. You need deliverance. Because every sister wants to. King? You enjoy everything. Praise the Lord. But there is a process you go through to qualify. That is the emphasis. Look at them. They are all women hoping to be in the rapture. Catholic is one of the sisters. What do you call it? The maidens. Fair, beautiful. Because no, if you are ugly, you won't think of going. So the fact that they were ready, they qualify. Sele is one of the maidens. Hallelujah. Redeem. Choosing. Heaven at last. It's choosing slogan, not heaven at last. All assemblies of God. All. I don't have to call them their names. You know every church, every denomination, and there are thousands of them all around the world. And every one of them, they are hoping that when the rapture starts, we are going. But you will not go. He put the story of Esther so that you will know who will qualify to go. And the process, there is a process. There is a process. That is why he put the story there, so that you will understand, brother, to know, so that you can know whether you are qualified, you will go or not. And this is the revelation that will make some of us never to attend some of these churches. And that is the revelation that some of you hearing me now must get out of such churches. Get out. The Spirit is saying, come out of her, my people. Some of those churches are antichrist churches. No matter how beautiful they look like. We'll look at that process next time. Hallelujah.